why what they did was in rebellion towards what God had told them to do. And this week what we're going to look at is the example we can take from that and apply to our own lives. The Bible speaks of this as being an ensample or an example in the New Testament of how these things apply to our lives. The stories we read about in the Old Testament, we can take those stories and we can learn from them what to do and what not to do, what we can do to be more like God, and the things that we ought not to do so that we are more like God as well. There's so much we can learn from the Old Testament that is important for us to apply to our lives. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 11, verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lessons we learn here. I pray you'd help us and take them and apply them to our lives. I pray, Lord, this evening for each and every believer that is here in our midst. Lord, help them to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them learn more about you. And I also pray, Lord, if there's someone here in our midst, or maybe they're watching online, they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know the joy of sins forgiven. I pray this will be the night they come to trust in you. Again, Lord, we just pray in each and every aspect you're glorifying. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled the message, Babylon's Ensample, or Example. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." And the Bible also says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." And the New Testament gives clear instruction, and it shows us that the things that happen in the Old Testament are guidance. It is instruction. We learn from it. We can take what they did and how they did not obey God and the things they did, and we can take it and apply it to our lives. And so this evening, I want us to take a look at Babylon and learn from it. What is it that they did wrong? What was it that they did wrong in Babel? What was it that God did in order to fix the situation, and what they should have done? The Word of God gives us directions of what to do and what not to do. The term we see used in the Scriptures is ensample. It's another word used for an example. Sodom and Gomorrah and Babylon give us examples of what we should not do. We see that God gives people after the flood clear directions as to what he wanted them to do. The Bible says in Genesis 9, 1, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." And that's where we're going to start off, first of all, this evening, is God's direction. God's direction. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 14 and following, "And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. God had clearly directed them after the flood. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go out now and fill the earth back up. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to spread upon the face of the earth. In order the earth to be filled, you can't fill one spot. You have to spread out. You have to go across different places and different lands. However, we see that in the beginning of Babel, in the reading about Babel, that the people had made a different decision. We'll learn about that in just a moment. I want us right now really just focus on God's direction. And the scriptures, God gives clear direction what people need to do. Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, God gives the directions that we need. What is it he expects from us? Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And we'll begin reading it in verse 22. Acts chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse 22. Acts 17 and verse 22. The Bible says the following. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and of earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for his will on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art, a man's device. In the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man by whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Another said, We will hear thee again of this matter. God gives instruction, direction to the lost. The Bible says the time of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And you see in the flood, God had directed them. He said, Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And they didn't follow his direction. We see in our day and age, God gives direction everywhere, every man to repent. God gives direction. He gives direction through his word, the word of God. He directs people in what they need to do. For the lost, they must be saved. He says, everywhere, all men, he commandeth them to repent. Because the time, the appointed day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, he hath ordained. There is coming a time where God will judge sin. And God is preparing people for that day. And we are preparing for that day. We prepare for that day to meet God by first and foremost knowing God personally, repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That's what God's will is for every man. And that is why God's direction is so important. God not only gives direction, though, for the lost and being born again in their trust for the Lord Jesus Christ, but God gives direction for the saved and how they are to live their life. Turn your Bibles, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we'll look at verse 13. John chapter 15 and verse 13. John 15, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have learned of my Father I have made known unto you." God gives us directions as Christians in his word. He says, to be a friend of me, do whatsoever I command you. A true friend is someone who will listen, someone who will take advice. A true friend of Jesus is not someone who says, I am a friend of Jesus, but a true friend of Jesus is someone who, when Jesus speaks, they say, I'll obey, I'll listen. If you do whatsoever I commanded you. And so the principle we learn, even in the beginning of Babel, is God gives a direction. He said, be fruitful, multiply, and spread across the face of the earth. And we see God's direction throughout the Bible as to what God says to do. He says, you need to do these things. You need to obey me. You need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. God is always directing us in what we need to do. And God's directions are always best. God's direction is not to hurt or to harm. God's direction is for our benefit. Because what God directs is always best. And so when God directs the lost, their need to be born again and their need to trust in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of sins, he's doing it because that is what's best for them. They're partaking of something they don't deserve. They're partaking of eternal life. They're receiving that free gift, and God wants everyone to have. And that's why he calls every man everywhere to repent. And so there are so many people, they make their own decisions as to what they will and will not do. But regardless of what people decide, we can see in the Bible that they're without excuse. They have direction. God gives direction. God tells us what we need to do. Not only do we see God's direction, but we also see man's decision. Man's decision. The people of Babel had heard what they should do, and they decided to do another thing, to go in a different direction. Turn back there to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And so we see God had said in Genesis 9, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And we see in Genesis chapter 11, the people say, let us go build us a tower that will reach unto the heavens, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the earth. Man knows what they're supposed to do, and then they go and make a decision of what they want to do. And they make these decisions because we're sinners. Sinners by nature, sinners by choice. They didn't have to do this, they chose to do this. They knew what God had told them to direct them to do. It was just not too long after the flood. But yet they chose a different path. People make decisions each and every day. However, people don't always choose to follow the directions of the Lord. man has a free will. We have the privilege to make our own decisions. The saying is, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. You can show someone from the Bible how Jesus died on the cross for their sins, how everyone's a sinner and they need salvation, and that how the waters of life, they're there freely for each and every person to receive. But you can't make them all, you can't make people drink. People have to come to the conclusion in their heart and mind when you show them truth, whether or not they're going to accept that truth and obey that truth. In any decision that a man makes, although he might not say it, he's doing what he wants because he thinks it is best. In the Babylon, when they were building that tower so that they could make a name for themselves, they were doing it so they wouldn't have to spread abroad on the face of the earth. They thought, you know what, this would be a good idea so that we don't lose each other and so that we're in the same place. They start doing these things in order to keep themselves focused. However, their decision was not God's decision. They made a decision that was pleasing to them. And the same is true even when it comes to salvation. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 17, 30 and following, "In the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter." God had commanded people to repent and believe. But the Bible says people have a choice. Turn your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 3. In verse 18, John chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." People who don't come to Jesus, people who hear the good news about what Jesus did, the reason why they don't come, the Bible makes it very clear, is they love darkness rather than light. They have made a decision of what they want. And they know what God offers to them and what God wants. And they know what they want. And when they're confronted with the truth, when the Holy Spirit's working in their heart through the preaching of the Word of God, they make a decision. They say, I'm not going to follow God. And for believers, when it comes to being a Christian who is following God, being a friend who is someone who is doing what Jesus tells them day in and day out, being obedient, we make decisions and we decide whether or not we're going to obey or disobey. But it is clear in the Bible, God gives direction, but man makes a decision. Which brings us to our third point. We have seen the direction of God, the decision of man, and we also see the judgment of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 5, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth, and then left off to build the city." The thing that they began to do, the Bible says, and this they began to do, was in defiance to God. And so God steps in. God says, look, this is what they begin to do. And whatever they imagine to do, they're going to be able to do. So God says, they've already started rebelling. And so it doesn't end up like it was before the flood, where everyone was just, the thoughts are always evil continually. So it doesn't get to that point where people are just killing each other and all this thing that was going on before the flood. He steps in judgment. But his judgment is mercy. You look in the scriptures, you see the Bible, you see all these things that happen. And the Bible says they're for an example. It says Sodom and Gomorrah, it says that when it was an example so that people, lest they fall into that wicked lifestyle again, and understanding that God deals with sin. It's an example so that we can fear and so that we can learn to turn away from our wicked ways and go to the right way. When God judged Babel in this instance, or also known as Babylon, he was showing them the importance of doing what was right. And he showed it by confounding their languages. And the same is true today. The Bible says in Acts 17:30, in the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day. What is that day? There's a day of judgment coming, and God is warning people. You need to repent. You need to believe. You need to trust in God. God sends judgments through times in our lives. God sends judgments through many avenues. Things happen. A lot of things that happen as a result of sin, we know, but we also understand that God intervenes and he allows things to happen so that people will see the importance of believing in God. And this is shown, even evident, in the book of Revelation. Turn in the book of Revelation to chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 8, Revelation 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. The Bible says, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these flakes. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." God was sending judgments. God was showing the world that he's not pleased with what they're doing. And the Bible says they've repented not. The reason why God says judgments, the reason why people suffer, as people don't comprehend how much worse the suffering is going to be when the day of judgment finally comes. And so God intervenes. It's not because he's being cruel. It's not because he's being unreasonable, because he knows if he does not intervene, there's something far worse that waits for man. And God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We know that the reason why it hasn't happened yet, even in our day and age, we look around us and we say, how do these things just keep on happening? How can God just sit by and all these people just rebel against God? They don't care about God. They just always are speaking evil against God, and God doesn't do anything, because God's not willing any should perish. All should come to repentance. God's desire is for people to get right with him. God intervened in Babel so that people will get back in the right path, in the right direction. There is a benefit to judgment, and there can be a benefit to judgment, I should say, because it leads people to where they need to be, and that's back on the right direction. Which brings me to my last point, and I'll be done. The result of God's judgment. What is the result of God's judgment? Of course, as much as God can try to redirect, as much as God tries to work in the heart of men to show them what is right and show them what they need to do, there's always a choice. In Genesis 11:9, the Bible says, "Therefore is the name of called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." The Bible says they were scattered abroad upon the face of all the earth. He confounded their language. Genesis 9:1, he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Scatter abroad upon the face of the earth." They didn't do it. They started to build themselves a tower, make a name for themselves. And they started rebelling against God again, and God intervenes. And God judges by causing people to speak in a bunch of different languages. When we look at how God works, we understand that God's judgment is for the benefit of man. God's judgment is always to bring us back to where we need to be. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 34, turn there if you would, it speaks of this. Psalm 78 and verse 34. Psalm 78, verse 34. The Bible says the following. When he slew them, the Bible says, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high tower, their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Bible says, when he slew them, then they sought him. When God stepped in, he started judging them for their rebellion against him. Then they turned to him. Then they started looking towards him. We see in the scriptures, God for his children, when we rebel, when we do wrong, what does the Bible say he does to us? He whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He deals with us. In the Bible, when you see people that live in wickedness and they start doing these great evil things and God sends judgment and people start dying, the purpose is not for the person to die. That is not what God is trying to do. The Bible says God doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. But what God does is he does these things, and people do die sometimes in his judgments, to bring people to a place where they'll turn back to him. They'll look to him. Because what God wants more than anything else is for people to just simply obey him. And we see that throughout the scriptures. The children of Israel, they had the privilege of obeying. They would obey. God would bless them. They would disobey. God would judge them. God's judgment was to bring them back to that place where they would obey him again, and they would have his blessings again. We see in the Bible when many nations, they'll turn against God. They do things against God. And even the book of Revelation, when God's pouring out his wrath upon this world, he's doing it to bring them to a place of repentance, but the Bible says they'll repent not. But through it all and in it all, throughout the Bible, God's desire, right from the beginning to the end, is when man steps out of line, God wants to bring him back in line. And when man makes the wrong decision, God deals with that decision. And when he deals with that decision, man has a decision to make himself. Am I going to learn from my mistakes, or am I just going to keep on doing what I want to do? And that's what we learn even here in Babel. God has never left man helpless. He always has the answer to their need. However, we must accept his provision that he's provided us through his word and realize the benefits. Throughout history, beginning in the garden, God has always provided the best way. And man chooses it, he accepts it, or he follows another way. But we see through it all, God is working to bring man back into the right way to follow him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy.